It's not a midlife crisis, it's a midlife career pivot experiment called Fork in the Road. And I'm the human guinea pig, Andy Marshall, who's got the gall to attempt to have a successful career doing work I love, creative work, and throw that notion of a starving artist out the window. Then take the elevator down to the ground floor and jump on it some more. And I'm going to keep doing this every day on the podcast. So let's go.
Have you ever been camping as a thriving artist? Well, even as an artist, I mean, how do you know even when you're thriving? I suppose you go walking out in nature and you see things that are thriving and you go, am I like nature? Is that me thriving? I don't know. But anyway, so camping, the great outdoors, being outside, I think is a very important part of to get on the road to be a thriving artist. You need to get outside and observe the world and get bored. You know, think about, as I say, if you've been camping as a thriving artist, you don't need to go out into nature with your easel and your sketch pad and, you know, illustrate it, photograph it, document it any way you can. I mean, that is a great thing to do and it's probably very beneficial and it's probably just lovely. But just getting out in nature and getting bored and getting some distance from your work, because I find out of boredom comes creativity. I mean, I can see it in my kids when we go out to our piece of land that we're slowly trying to turn into a farm. It's as soon as the kids say that they're bored, I say that's great, because because you know, in the next 5 minutes, they're going to start getting creative. They're going to start making stuff out of sticks. They're going to start building cubby houses. They're going to do all these things in nature, getting creative that doesn't involve the iPad or any other kind of like modern stimulus, which just kind of turns them off. The nature turns them, you know, tunes them in. And gets their brain working. And I think even as you get older, I think if you get out in nature, you might not start building cubby houses and bridges and all these kinds of things out of sticks, but that might be what's happening on the subconscious level in the back of your mind while you think you're taking a break, you're being lame, you're not getting anything done. You are actually getting things done. I think a lot of time for artists is not doing anything, which I think probably that's where the idea of being a slacker artist comes in, you know, sitting around doing nothing all day. You know, I'm being an artist, man. It's an essential part of being an artist. So I think, you know, camping, getting out in nature, camping for me is like, so I've taken camping's too stressful. It's basically like you need to be an extreme list maker or you're going to suffer, because you know, you forget one of the essential things when you go camping and your trip's going to become miserable. So I suppose you can learn a lot from camping as well and being in nature, because you know, you need to be organized to be a thriving artist. You need to have a plan and you need to have a list, I think, of things, because you go camping and you forget your sleeping bag, you're going to be miserable. You forget your tent, you're going to be miserable. You forget your can opener, you're going to be miserable, or the can that you're going to use the can opener to, you know, get the food out. You don't, you forget any of those elements and you're going to be miserable, and nature will teach you a lesson. and so I think it can teach you a lesson that way. I mean, we've kind of moved to having a bus, which is like a mobile home, where we can pretty much not forget anything, because you drive the bus there, you've got the lot. So that's my cheat's way of going camping. But I think, so getting back to nature, I think to get out in it, it's very valuable. Your subconscious, I think, observes the shapes, the colours, all these things, see how everything works in harmony, and just inspires you, or it should inspire you. And even if it doesn't feel like it's inspiring, you're not standing there with your hands on your hips, breathing in the fresh country air, going, I'm inspired. I think that's probably what your subconscious might be doing, even if you're not aware of it. And because looking at the blank page or blank canvas, you can get very, all you see is nothing. There's nothing to inspire you. There's nothing to take you forward. You need to get out and about. You don't have to go camping and go walking your dog or something. Or if you don't have a dog, just go and walk yourself. And even if you're in the city, it doesn't matter. If you're in the city, you can sit on a park bench, observe the pigeons crapping on the ledge or trying to land in amongst all the spears that people have put on the buildings to stop them pooing on the buildings. And, you know, see how they relate to each other and their weird little mating dances that the pigeons do and all these kinds of things. It's all art, it's all creativity, it's all going to inspire you on one way or another. So, you know, it's your way through artist block. Some people say, oh, well, I get inspired by reading books or watching movies or, you know, or going to the art gallery, and they're all good things. But all of those people, and the people before those people and before those things existed, they were out in nature getting inspired. So, you know, you might as well go to the original source. And so that's kind of where a lot of my artwork comes from as well. I've recently created, I've been mucking around with my uncommon animals of the alphabet, my water deer. I've been mutating it and destroying it. See, I spend so much time trying to make a drawing as good as I can or as perfect as I can. And I find this latest kind of experiment that I'm doing, which you can see linked in the show notes, is to see how much I can then kind of tear that down. It's like building a sandcastle and then tearing it down. And I kind of enjoy the really kind of rough, beat about kind of look that I'm getting from that. So it's a bit of experimentation that I'm doing. And so, yeah, you can check that out. But yeah, that's just what I'm thinking about from my, because I've got this daily prompt on WordPress on my blog, and I'm trying to, like, I'm giving it a go anyway, using it to talk about creativity, being a thriving artist, and the art that I'm making, and where I'm at now. And I'm trying to incorporate it all in to the one thing, and just do one post a day, and just kind of do it as like focusing my mind and kind of setting in stone what my kind of values are and what my beliefs are in terms of creativity and around what I'm making. And it just kind of helps to say those things out loud. Whether you're listening, whether you're not listening, it's just an interesting exercise, and then I'll be able to look back on it, if I ever do want to look back on it, and go, what was I thinking when I created that? I think I'm calling the water deer water fear. Basically, okay, so I better explain that a bit further, because I've morphed this water deer into something a bit strange. And it's my idea of, like, so there's only about 10,000 estimated water deer left in China, and a lot of the animals in my Uncommon Animals of the Alphabet series are either endangered, critically endangered, whatever, maybe because not much is known about them. So that's why I want to try and make them as popular as possible. I want to turn them into wallpaper. I want to turn them into flowers. I want to turn them into artwork. So they've become like a common object. But anyway, with this series that I think I'm starting is there's this thing of we wanna go science is amazing, science is great, look at the amazing things we can do by bringing animals back to life. Like we go, oh, we can bring the mammoth back to life. Or all these things, but in the thylacine, which may or may not be extinct. But rather than let them go extinct, why don't we try and stop them going extinct? And rather than science bringing them back and going, wow, they're amazing, look at what we can do, how about just look at what exists, and isn't that amazing? So the idea with a water deer is like I try and do a digital recreation of something natural that isn't quite right, which is based on memories, based on ideas, and not as good as the real thing. And so, like, we might be able to, if a water deer sadly disappears off the face of a planet, bring them back, but they'll never be the same. They'll never be the real thing. And so that's what I'm experimenting with, like the, the morphing of ideas and memories to recreate something always changes the thing. It's never like what the thing is in its original form. So anyway, I'm getting, I'm trying to explain my thoughts, trying to work out what my thinking is around it. But basically, don't let animals go extinct and you won't have to create them. Okay, science is great, awesome, well done. But why don't we use science to stop the animals going extinct in the first place rather than bringing them back from extinction? Anyway, so that's my greeny point of view on my first episode back in a long time, using WordPress prompts to kind of help me. WordPress prompts and the art that I'm working on at the moment to help me create an episode. Ciao.
And that just about wraps up today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to start talking, I'd love you to leave me a voice message. All you have to do is tap the link at the bottom of the podcast description and you'll be able to leave me a 1 minute message there. It could be a question, your thoughts, praise, outrage. I don't care. I just want the attention. And I'll play the message back on the show and I'll catch you tomorrow at the fork in the road.